casting vision to your team, to your organization, your business, your school, your church, or any level of government, take someone who understands how to see the end from the beginning. On Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership today, we are going to be talking about this very, very important subject, how to cast vision.
Today more than ever, our homes, churches, and nation need strong leadership. Ronnie Floyd has over 30 years of experience leading one of the largest churches in America. He has led the largest evangelical community in the nation and is influencing the country with strong biblical convictions. And he believes that people can change the world. With his legacy of influence, Ronnie Floyd is committed to the development of leaders. And now, here's your host, Ronnie Floyd, on Life and Leadership Today.
Welcome to the podcast today, and every organization has to be reminded from time to time where they were, where they are, and what the vision is to be for the future. For 30 years, I have poured my life and my leadership into one organization located in the Northwest Arkansas region of Arkansas. The home of Walmart, J.B. Hunt, Tyson Foods, and the University of Arkansas, as well as 12 to 1,400 companies that are here to serve the Walmart account. This area literally oozes with leadership, and it's a tremendous challenge to be able to cast vision as a leader. But I learned years ago that I can only take an organization so far by myself. And that's exactly why I began to prioritize a time for 30 weeks over the course of 30 years. I had poured my life into our team. My wife and I have taken our team away, our ministry staff, as well as their spouses, for up to 3 to 4 days annually, for a time of renewing, refreshing, and casting vision. You know, you cannot lead a team without a coach. You cannot lead a team without a boss, without a leader, and quite honestly, a servant leader, who first understands the overall vision of the organization. In our church, at Cross Church, a very large multi-campus church, our vision is very, very clear. Let me ask you today, is your vision clear in your business? Is your vision clear in your organization? If you lead a team, maybe you're a coach, or maybe you're the mayor of a city, or maybe you're a governmental leader, a congressman, a senator. Is your vision clear to those who are there to follow you? In fact, if you're a pastor of a church today, is your vision clear for your church? If you're the president of a company, is your vision clear for your company? If you're the head of a department, is your vision clear? Or perhaps you're just a normal hour-by-hour employee. Is the vision clear that has been set before you to do your job well? Well, today, what I want to do is that I want to share with you for the course of several minutes how I cast vision to my team last week when we were together in the opening session. And what we're going to do is that we're going to pull just a small portion of this, and I want you to see how I began. This is not my full presentation, but how I began to cast vision for my team. As I said a moment ago, just to set the framework for all of us, for the past 30 years, Gene and I have taken our staff away for gatherings like this one. When we began 30 summers ago, Gene and I were usually the youngest in the room, and the group was extremely small. Our ministry team would sit around a table of 8 to 10 comfortably. And when I came here as pastor, I was 30 years old, way out of my league. Yet with conviction, I knew God had called me here and I led accordingly. The church as a whole conceded this leadership graciously. Now listen carefully to just a few moments of what I shared in Casting Vision with our team. You know, history helps us learn so much if we will study and listen to it. For example, when I arrived here 30 years ago, our Springdale campus was on a single-lane road. In fact, the road was not even paved when I came here and was in some state of major construction. We had a smaller gymnasium that we met in called the Fellowship Gym, along with two other buildings located on 30 acres of land. In fact, I really think it was 25 acres of land. I preached twice on Sunday mornings, once on Sunday night, and again on Wednesday night. And in between the two morning worship services on Sunday morning, I did a pastor's class with several hundred adults that attended. Our budget was $1 million annually. And now, 30 years later, you are our ministry team and the spouses of this team. Our budget is $18.8 million this year. We have five campuses that sits on 130 acres of land. And when our new Fayetteville campus is completed, we will have no less than 600,000 plus square feet of space combined on all of our campuses. By the end of 2020, we believe we will be completely debt-free and have properties valued at approximately $125 million. When we are debt-free by the end of 2020 or before, this will free up no less than $3.2 million annually that we can use for ministry and mission advancement. And just in case you wondered, Gina and I are no longer the youngest in the room. The game changers were many through the years. The defining moments were plentiful. Initially, they were connected to buildings and structures being completed. And then, major movements of the Spirit of God began to chart our path forward. And this led to strategic shifts driven by the missional vision of our church. For the past 20 years, the missional vision has been driven by Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And while at times staff members and consultants have tried to get me to change our missional vision, I have held on to this missional vision tightly and stubbornly. With a humble confidence, I knew we would never go wrong with Acts 1:8, the final words of Jesus, by the way. And I believe the first Sunday I was here as pastor, as I reflected on preparing this for us today, I really believe I preached from that very passage of Scripture. And with this missional vision, we have moved the church forward to do many things that only God Himself could do. I believe with all I am that this has happened because we have tried to do and to carry out Jesus' true vision for His church. These were His last marching orders for the church prior to the ascension. And at the end of the first four Gospel, excuse me, at the end of each of the four gospel accounts, words like Acts 1:8 were recorded by each one of the writers. Therefore, for 30 years, I have moved this church forward by the power of the gospel of Jesus as recorded in Acts 1:8. I want to be more than clear for some of you who may have believed what is promoted today, that in the last 10 years,
Today's younger leaders have discovered the gospel that no one knew before them ever knew or lived by. Well, let me tell you the truth. That is complete and total hogwash. It has been the power of Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 that have built this church. I have preached it as the gospel. I have led it as the gospel to share Jesus with lost people. But a gospel that not only saves the lost, but a gospel that helps us to live like we are saved, carrying out the dynamic principles of the Holy Scripture. I've never compromised the gospel, and I don't think our church has ever compromised the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 states, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." I've never seen more preachers and so-called scholars and wannabe leaders sitting behind computer screens talking about how we need to do this thing called the gospel. Yet, we are the very people that believe in and preach that gospel. And we're to live out this gospel every day. Yet so many of them, they don't even give a public invitation. They don't know how to lead people to respond to the gospel. They baptize few to none annually. They declare discipleship has been forgotten. Most have never built anything and cannot lead anyone toward the completion of a missional vision of Acts 1:8. Therefore, I appeal to you humbly today. You better watch who you're listening to. You better be careful who you're reading. As well as who you are making your spiritual hero. Reflecting upon these years, it has been with a stubborn tenacity that I have held on and held high to our missional vision and continue to hold it high today before this team. It should be uttered in your sleep. It should be uttered in each meeting that you have with church members. Every staff meeting somewhere needs to incorporate it. Any gathering with prospective church members or groups of volunteers in our church forever and ever and ever need to hear it and need to be taught it and need to say it with you. That our missional vision is reaching Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world. For Jesus Christ. With this vision, we have baptized thousands and planted churches all over America and the world, mobilized millions to missions, and raised millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. It would be really interesting, Ben Mays, an assignment for you and your little group over there in your office, to see how many millions of dollars our people have given to our ministry budget, to mission endeavors, to buildings, to campuses, to projects, to disaster relief, and everything we have asked them to do for the past 30 years. It would shock all of us to know the amount of money that our people have given. And let me remind you, it's been one thing to mobilize this church. And if you want to know how to mobilize this church, you tell this church, we're here to reach Northwest Arkansas and America and the world for Jesus Christ. And they'll go for it. They'll go for it. The year before I arrived here as pastor, the church baptized 77 people. This year, we will have our greatest year of baptisms in 30 years, baptizing over 1,200 people to the glory of God. Driven and consumed by this missional vision, I lead this team, I lead this church, and I advance the gospel throughout this region, throughout America, and the entire world. You know, when I arrived here 30 years ago, even though the three mega companies we have t- today existed, they were nowhere close to where they are today in influence and size. As well, back then, the University of Arkansas was a rather small statewide university, well under 20,000 students. Well under 20,000 students. But on a Sunday afternoon in 1986, I answered many questions, and in my complete youthfulness and with a boyish enthusiasm, I said something like this: if we can put chickens all over the world, put trucks all over the world, put retail outlets all over the world, as Razorbacks all over the world, from this northwest corner of Arkansas and America, surely God wants to raise up a gospel church to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world from right here in this northwest corner of Arkansas. And I told them, I want to be that church. I declared that boldly. And looking back, it was a declaration prophetically. I have to admit to you, I had no idea what I was saying. But I really believe with that boyish enthusiasm that God had brought me here to see it done. You see, I was driven by one thing: the missional vision of Jesus is recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, we believe our missional vision, reaching Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world, is what we're all about. Regardless of age, generation, or vocation, the missional vision needs to be taken seriously and fulfilled strategically by everyone, everywhere, and every day. Our missional vision is what we do here at Cross Church. This is overall, unquestionably, our direction. You want to know where our church is going? There's a clear answer. Acts 1:8. That's where we're going. That's what we're about. And that is what we are committed to. You see, it rallies our people internally. But it's also our big idea externally that becomes the hook to thousands to join in this grand vision. It is simple, but yet it's powerful. It prompts each of us to become conscientious to the fact that God has us here to use us and to carry His message forward regardless of our age, generation, or vocation. Our missional vision reminds us to be the church, not just go to church. Live your life by it. Lead our church by it. It is our flag that leads every one of us on the field of play, everywhere, every day.
Vision is the key component to success in anything you do. Your leadership depends on your vision and your ability to communicate the vision, motivate people toward the vision, and to carry it out. In fact, I call it this: how to make your vision walk. You see, casting vision is just a part of the story. And the rest of the story is making the vision walk. That's what we call strategy. That's what we call following through. That's what we call having that stubborn tenacity to not let the vision ever be compromised. I can assure you, vision drift will happen in any organization. And there are times when you set forth a new vision, even a vision rift can happen within an organization. But I want to challenge you this week, in your life and in your leadership, check out your vision. Is your vision clear? Can you cast that vision to your spouse, to your family, to the group of people that you lead, the department that you lead, or even to the people that you follow in their leadership? I want to urge you in these closing moments here on Life and Leadership Today for you to really take seriously your role as a leader, and to take it so seriously that you reevaluate to make sure that the vision that you are casting for your life and for the future of your organization is clear, and that you can make that vision walk. I hope today that once you listen to this podcast, that you will go and rate and review this program. It is so important that when you do that, and you do it in a positive way, that you're able to ascend it forward to being heard by many, many other people. And please help us today, not only by doing that, but would you tell people about Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today? We're here to help leaders. And for those of you that have been on all of our episodes together, or most of them, you know it's rare for me to be able to talk to you one-on-one here today, but I just really felt, as well as our team felt, this was one of the best things we could do for you today. So I pray that you'll have a great week and that you will join me next week.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Please subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with others. Also follow Ronnie via social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Ronnie Floyd. Learn more about Ronnie by visiting ronniefloyd.com. Don't forget to join us next week as we spend time learning together about life and leadership today.